Ladies and gentlemen, it's now gone 10:30, so I will declare this ordinary meeting of the Council of Central Tablelands Water open. I would like to acknowledge the Wiradjuri people, who are the traditional custodians of the land on which we meet, and pay my respects to their elders, past, present, and emerging. This meeting will be audio recorded, and a copy of the audio recording will be posted to Council's website within a couple of weeks of this meeting. The audio recording is not the official record of the proceedings. That is found in the minutes of the meeting. The basis on which the meeting is recorded is set out at the opening of the business papers for this meeting. Turning to the agenda, item four, which is a presentation of our financial statements, I'd like to welcome Katie Henry.
Thank you.
From Intenis, on behalf of the Audit Office, who will give us a presentation on the accounts, which we've just finalised and lodged in good time, which is always good to know.
That's right. Right on time.
Thanks, Katie.
Thank you.
I looked up then quickly and I thought he had a cigarette in his mouth.
Sorry?
I looked up quickly then and I thought, oh, he's got a cigarette in his mouth.
Cigar, long thin cigar. Purpose of the audio recording, we are now setting up a PowerPoint presentation for the benefit of the councillors.
What do you look up?
On the roof. Like a Sistine Chapel.
It's a bit of an angle, but that might.
Let's give our figures.
No, that's right.
Is that right? Everyone can see that?
Yep.
I hope we never got that balancing too precariously. Lovely. Thank you, councillors. Thank you for the opportunity to present the financial statements to you this morning. I'm Katie Henry. I've been the audit manager with Intenis and working on the CTW audit for a number of years now. Before going into the presentation any further, I just wanted to make mention we're the contracted auditors through New South Wales Audit Office, and our role is to provide independent assurance on the financial statements and supporting schedules prepared by management and endorsed by yourselves, the councillors. Areas of focus for 2019-2020's Parliament report that the Audit Office prepares every year. These are the few focus points that they're going to be looking at and including in their report. The audit results across the industry, the key audit findings again across the industry. You will typically see these, the ones that are specific to yourselves, in the form of our audit management letter. The areas of focus during the audit this year were, of course, COVID-19 and the impacts that that had on your organisation and your operations. Natural disasters, which didn't really apply to you guys, that was more the bushfires along the southern part of the state. Landfills, IT general controls, and then, of course, the projection into the future and what the results and the impacts on the results will be. They're expecting, the Audit Office is expecting to table that report to Parliament on the 25th of February 2021.
The drought in the past is a natural disaster, though, so the impact of drought is...
That's true. Yes, that's right. So that is addressed in your report that we... What happened with those 4 points, the focus points, there was an independent data collection that happened that we facilitated with the help of Gavin and Peter during the audit process. Whilst it doesn't form part of the audit per se, it is for the purpose of this Parliament report. So there's been some specific answers in relation to CTW gone back to the audit office. Our report on the conduct of audit, it looks at the audit in general. So we've completed our audit of the general purpose and special purpose accounts that have been lodged with the Office of Local Government now. Before coming to your council, your financial statements, or to you as councillors, your financial statements and the audit process were scrutinised by your Audit and Risk Committee. And I'm pleased to report to you that the New South Wales Audit Office has issued a clean audit opinion of your council's financials, which means that your financial statements don't contain any material misstatements and are presented fairly. The significant matters for 2020 in relation to accounting standards, we had three new accounting standards come into application this year. Two of them related to the revenue standards and one was for leasing. So the leasing, sorry, I've jumped ahead. The revenue standards change the timing when the revenue is recognised, and the first time application of these standards saw CTW recognise 93,000 of contract assets, which were previously recorded as receivables, and 73,000 of contract liabilities, which was previously recorded as unearned income. So that was the effect of it at 30 June 2020. The accounting standards also required you to do an assessment of the impact of these new standards at 1 July 2019 for the implementation of them. CTW and management of CTW did an assessment of this and determined that there wasn't any need to adjust your opening accumulated surplus at 1 July 2019. Now, AASB 16 is the leases, the new leases standard, and it was effectively bringing onto the balance sheet what was previously just disclosed in your financial statements as operating leases. But that's a very simplistic term of it. There was a lot more work involved from Peter's end in analysing leases, in determining whether a lease existed. At the end of the day, there were no leases that fell under the definition of the standard to bring to account and bring in an asset or a liability for CTW. There is a lease. You do have a lease for your photocopier, but there is a threshold for low value assets, and that photocopier falls within that. So you guys are very lucky. You didn't have to go through all the rigmarole of
Katie,
bringing those on.
Just back to
the
first point, the no need to go back to July. The opening 1 July.
Yes, you didn't need to make an adjustment.
That's because there's only the net difference is only 20,000, and it's in favour of more assets than less.
It's actually to do with the timing of it. So as at 1 July 2019, you actually didn't have any contract assets or contract liabilities. So you didn't have any debtors for government grants owed to you at the end of last financial year. And then you didn't have any unearned income that needed to be classified as contract liabilities. So it is a timing thing. It won't necessarily always be there every year. It depends on the grant agreements and it depends on your obligations within those grant agreements. So this will be something that will need to be assessed at the end of every financial year going forward now. So this is a quick snapshot of your income statement. And as you can see, there was quite a big impact last year in relation to your capital grants for your sewer works. So 2020 is more in line with 2018 and what you typically, your results that you typically have. So your 0.59 million in operating result for the year, that is inclusive of 2.8 million of depreciation and amortization expense, and is lower than the 2018-19 year due to your capital grant for your pipeline between your Kakor water treatment plant and the Orange water treatment plant. And that obviously has a flow-on effect through to your net operating result. This one is a snapshot of your operating revenue by source. And as you can see in your grants and capital, sorry, grants and contributions for capital, it's quite high due to that capital grant works for the pipeline. All your other categories are very consistent year on year. And this one is your analysis by operating expenses by type. You can see there again, they're all very consistent. We would expect your materials to be a little bit higher as you do your works associated with your grants. Your depreciation is also increasing, as the nature of depreciation is that the longer you use your assets, the higher your depreciation is going to go. This is a quick analysis of your cash and investments. I'm not sure if anyone's been following the Central Coast Council debacle with their restrictions. They're sort of coming to a conclusion that that's where the warning signs were missed. So here you can say, I mean, yours are very straightforward because being a single source council. So your external restrictions of 70,000, that just relates to your unexpended grants, which ties back into that contract liabilities amount of your 73,000. Your internal restrictions, pretty consistent year on year. And the amounts in there are to do with your internally restricted projects, what you've identified of the works you want to do. And then unrestricted is exactly the same year on year. Now, I've just got a few of the ratios to discuss that have come straight from your financial statements. This one's your operating performance ratio, which council has fallen below the benchmark for the current year. This is not uncommon for small councils, county councils, and it just shows, you know, the dollar movements, small dollar movements can have a large impact on this ratio for small county councils. And really, it's not a reflection of a negative movement this year at all. It's just really a reflection of the small source of pool of income that you can draw upon. Your unrestricted current ratio is well above the industry benchmark, and that links back into those restricted cash balances that I showed you earlier. You're in a very strong position here. Now this one is we've changed this one slightly. This, for your general purpose councils, this one's called your rates and annual charges, which has the benchmark of greater than 10%. Now I haven't put that on the graph because that technically doesn't apply to this ratio, because I've adjusted it to better reflect your business operations, which is your water charges. But it's the closest comparison to this type of ratio is a 10%. So we've got the annual water charges, interest and extra charges, outstanding ratio being a more relevant ratio for you here. And it's remained consistent over the years. You can see the increase in 2020. That has been impacted by the delays in finalising that last quarter of your water billings, which I'm sure you're all well aware of. And whilst we're touching on that, I just wanted to let you know that we did a substantial amount of work over that last quarter. because of the large volume of manual adjustments that had to happen retrospectively for that quarter, we couldn't rely on what we normally do, which is the internal controls over the water billing system. So we relied on the internal controls for the water billings for the first three quarters of the year, but the last quarter we substantively tested, which basically means that we went down to the detail of individual transactions and confirmed a large sample to still arrive at the conclusion that your numbers are not materially misstated. So that's a good comfort and assurance on your water billings, considering that that is your bread and butter.
On the increase this year, you mentioned the final quarter's billing was delayed because of the need to do the estimates and all that sort of stuff.
Yes.
I think also we gave extra time to pay.
We did.
Extra 7 days or 14 days or something?
I think it was
that's
at least
true. Yeah, so and I also believe it wasn't, which is in alignment with a lot of other councils, there was no active chasing of it as well. So even once you exceeded the extended period, there was not an active chase on those debts either.
Yeah.
So it's very consistent with what we've seen across the industry that this has increased. And that is mainly due to the additional time that everybody gave their ratepayers due to COVID and different initiatives like that.
That's just a comparison to regular council, but do you have any comparisons to like water?
Not other water authorities. I've got one comparison to a county council, which is like a weeds council, but no direct water council, no. So with your infrastructure, property, plant and equipment, we just do a quick analysis as to the dollar values of the renewals that you've conducted during the year. So council has renewed 1.1 million of their assets in 2019-2020 financial year, compared to 7.68 in the prior financial year. Now that's directly linked to your capital works of your sewer network. Your 1.1 is much more in alignment with 2018. So there's also an infrastructure renewals ratio which forms part of the special schedules of your financial payments that's not audited. That was 42.33% compared to 192.4% in the prior year, which the 192 was obviously higher because of the capital works on the sewer network.
Sorry. That's right. No, it doesn't worry. We
all knew,
but I just wrote it down. Sorry. I just wrote it down. People, if anyone's listening, they might be going,
yeah. Yes.
We branched out.
Of course, it's the water. And then in 2019-2020, council spent $1.255 million on new assets and $1.06096 million on renewals. And again, the prior year was obviously a lot higher because of the water network works. I'd just like to congratulate council on a great result this year. I mean, it's been an extremely challenging year, so to come away only marginally below the line is really an excellent result. And I'd also like to take this opportunity to thank Gavin and Peter and their teams for the assistance that they gave us during the process of the audit. We did reschedule some things, and the audit visit happened later than what would typically, and to still be lodged on time was a really great outcome, so I'd like to thank your team and please pass that on to them. And I'd be happy to take any questions if anybody had any.
Well, councillors, any questions of Katie? Or any more questions of Katie? We've had a few on the way through.
Yeah, that's fine.
The operating drought, the effects of the drought haven't really made a big impact on
That's right. And I mean, again, like I said before, you've really had a great result considering the year and the challenges that the year gave you. To have just a marginal loss is an excellent position to be in.
Yeah.
any cash restrictions. I think more focus should be, often the net profit or loss is what people focus on, but from an audit perspective, we focus a lot more on your actual cash position, because that shows your ability to pay your bills as and when you need to.
Just through you, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to thank Katie and Leanne and the Intentis team, Antoine, and the audit office for their, she said that we were flexible, but these guys were really flexible for us under the circumstances, and we really do appreciate that, as we have to, in the past, and it's great to see that continue, and to get, to assist us in any way they could to get us to meet that statutory requirement. So
yeah,
thanks a lot, Katie, we appreciate that, and please pass that on to Leanne and Antoine. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Excellent.
Thanks very much. Yeah,
thank
Katie.
You.
That was very good. And I endorse what Gavin says about our thanks to you and your team.
Oh, yes.
It's always good to end up with an unqualified report on time, which is
That's
sad.
Right. You cannot ask for any more.
Thanks, Katie.
Is that all Excellent.
Thanks.
Thank you, Gab.
Have a good
Christmas.
Yes, you too.
All right, we'll continue with the meeting. Agenda item 5, apologies and applications for leave of absence. I see we are all present today, so there's no apologies. And there's been no request for leave of absence for any subsequent meeting?
No, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Now, item 6, confirmation minutes from the previous meetings. There's 3 previous meetings we need to confirm. The ordinary meeting on the 14th of October, the extraordinary meeting on the 30th of October, and the other extraordinary meeting on the 20th of November. So we'll do those.
I'll move all 3 in bulk.
All 3 in bulk. Is everyone happy we deal with them in bulk? No one wants to raise any specific issues on anyone. Okay, well, let's deal with the minutes in bulk. Has anyone got any questions or comments or corrections to any of those minutes? No? All right, I'll...
So we had, sorry, Mr. Chairman, Councillor Benbrick, second that,
yep.
The minutes?
Yep.
Yes, yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
Yep. Those in favour?
Aye.
Jared, any matters arising that anyone wants to raise? No, I was just going to, in relation to the last one, the extraordinary meeting on the 20th of November, the contract for the 12 meg reservoir. That's all been notified and let and ready to start work?
Yeah, through the chair, we have provided a letter of acceptance while we are creating the sign-off sheet as per AS4000. So it's
yep.
A formality more than, but the letter of acceptance has been forwarded on to the successful company.
Thank you. Any more questions arising from any of those minutes? If not, we'll move on to disclosures of interest. And I could disclose here that, if I can speak for Councillor Newstead as well as myself, as Councillor of Blaney Council, we disclose an interest in item 5, which is in relation to the section 64 charges for the amenities block at Dacres Oval in Blaney. So John and I will leave the meeting and hand over to Kevin as deputy for that item. Any other disclosures of interest? No? Public forum? No public forum.
Mr. Chairman.
Chairperson's minute. There's no chairperson's minute except in relation to the item enclosed in relation to the General Manager's annual performance appraisal, which we will deal with when we get to that item. No other chairman's minutes. Councillor representation. I will go first there, and I know B is very happy that I went to see what I've been doing since the last ordinary meeting, and there's quite a few of them, so I've just done a list. The 20th of October, the General Manager Performance Review. 26th of October, Loughran Regional Water Strategy Meeting. 29th of October, the Corragable Community Meeting. Also the same day, the Macquarie and Loughran Regional Water Strategy briefing session for the JO. 3rd of November, the Regional Water Committee of the JO met with Infrastructure Australia. 5th of November, I had a meeting with the General Manager's mentor, Graham Haley. On the 6th of November, another meeting with the people from the Lachlan Valley Water in relation to the Lachlan Water strategy. 18th of November, Audit Committee meeting. 23rd of November, the Local Government New South Wales Conference. And 27th of November, the CDW Christmas Party.
You haven't been busy at all, David.
So, I'll give you that list. Some of those, of course, other councils were present at. Kevin, I think you were with me at the General Manager's Performance Review and the Local Government Conference. Any others? Kevin?
Craigable.
And Councillor Benbrick was at the Craigable meeting?
Yep.
And I think no more representation? Okay. Thank you very much. Item 11, notices of motion. Do we have any notices of motion?
Notices,
no, we don't. Then we move on to the substance of the meeting, reports of staff. First item number one, the closure of the office over Christmas. I think this is just a reminder, I think, from the General Manager. I think previously Council used to approve that, but we delegated that to the General Manager.
That's correct, yes, back in 2013, so we've continued along that way, Mr. Chairman.
Any comments on relation to that? No, get someone to move that.
I'll move it.
It's a Walker, seconded.
Second.
That's a Birkin, thank you. Those in favour?
Aye.
Carried. Item 2, which is Robert Dixon's years of services.
Yeah, Robert Dixon, he's going to join us at 12 o'clock today, so going to join us just before closing of the meeting and also for lunch.
Okay, so there'll be an opportunity to record this within the meeting?
That's correct.
Yeah, as long as we don't finish before
acknowledge, acknowledge his exemplary service.
Yes, so. No, that's good. Well, I'll save my comments.
Do we need to order his lunch? Yeah.
We will have to.
Well done.
I'll make a decision.
In that case, we'll move on to the next item. Draft community engagement strategy, which has been circulated. Someone like to move that one? Councillor Best, seconded Councillor Newstead. The document's been circulated. I'll simply ask if there's any comments in relation to that. It's standard sort of engagement strategy document.
Yeah, and I just want to acknowledge Bea's work in this, putting this document together. She's done a huge amount of work on this and looking at various councils too for information and for feedback. So I just want to acknowledge the efforts that Bea has put into putting this strategy together. Thanks, Bea.
Thank you, Bea. And I'm very pleased to see actually that the map of our network we're using now is the one that's geographically accurate rather than the engineering diagram, which makes it a lot easier for people to see exactly where our network goes. When it comes to community engagement, that's the sort of thing which will strike a chord. Any more comments? One comment. This is the community engagement strategy for 21-22. This suggests that we need to adopt one of these every year. Is that the way it works?
Oh no! What we thought was because there'll be potentially a new council coming in September next year, it will give the new council the opportunity then to review the strategy and adopt a new one in line with the IPNR, new IPNR suite of documents to feed in with those.
So there'll be one for each 4-year council term.
So the next year, the next one will be longer. So we get a line up with the IPNR suite of documents.
Okay, those in favour?
Aye.
Carried. Next one, the New South Wales Annual Conference is a report from the General Manager and Asia-Vet Conference, which General Manager and I attended at Blaney Council, a venue set up to look like a conference venue. I think Councillor Walker attended on Zoom. Something like to move that? That's what I'm used to. Seconded Councillor Benbrick. Thank you very much. Comprehensive report. Anyone got any questions on that? No? In that case, those in favour?
Aye.
Thank you. Carried. We get to item 5, which is the water connection at Dacres Oval Blaney. I will now vacate the chair. Councillor Newstead and I will leave the room. I'll hand over to Councillor Walker as Deputy Chair.
I'll do it from here. All right, everybody?
Yeah.
Water connection, Dacres Oval Blaney. The recommendation of this. You know much about this?
Yeah, well, we can provide some background information. I'll hand to the Director of Operations and Technical Services, who, as his role, he's responsible for quoting on new water connections, and I can provide the background information regarding this connection.
Sure. Thank you, Gavin. Yes, through the chair, we CTW follow the guidelines as set by our Water Directorate when determining the different ETs and the percentage of the ETs when providing any quotations, and that's been the basis since I've started and my predecessors. The ET guidelines from Water Directorate cover for water as well as sewerage, and it's been taken as a baseline approach. There are certain areas where you can look at and reassess an ET, but the guidelines are very specific in the areas that where we looked at this one for Dacres Oval. So we provided a quotation. We were questioned of the quotation, saying it was for a toilet block. And why the ET percentage of ET was applied. We had meetings with the Blaney Council to put forward that we use the Water Directorate Guide, similar to what they use when they're determining the sewerage, and the conditions that they are questioning that could be variable. We provided a written response to say, in our opinion, the question was for that ET that we had submitted was correct. So we attended a meeting with the General Manager of Blaney Shire, as well as
Water and Sewer Manager.
Yeah, Water and Sewer Manager. And they put forward some figures, which for a certain amount of flushes from the toilet and using a certain amount of toilet, that they came up with the ET that they believe would be more pertinent to it. And again, CTW has stood by the method of how we approach these sorts of things and of how consistent that we would like to be once we start opening up for any type of variations. It certainly puts an awful lot of impost on ourselves to try and deal fairly and consistently across the board. So that was the way that the meeting ended, where CTW still stands by the approach that they have, which is in line with all other councils, and that the conditions that Blaney Shire Council put forward, we believe that they're not consistent with the Water Directorate for that particular application.
Was there much difference in what they were going to pay is what they got to pay?
We're talking about a ET of, with the two toilets, of 0.8 compared to they would like an ET of 0.02.
So financially that's
How much is that financially? It's
I think it was around $3,500 compared to, yes.
Have we got any other things like this we've done in the past, like similar to this? Or?
Well, with this that we've quoted in the past, we've used the guidelines and it's been based on those.
And then it'll be based on that?
Yeah. Yeah, and as Noel said, about based on that consistency, based on the guidelines, and the guidelines are taken as best practice in the water and sewer industry. So
they're just basically coming back to us saying that it's going to be a low-use facility, therefore we believe that we should be paying. But, I mean, that goes across the board with showgrounds, with...
That's it, you don't.
Parks, everything. Got.
Yeah.
And the figure they're coming with is based upon just... an assumption. There's no actual. Their 0.02 is basically 70 flushes per week. So there's no real justification for that either, is there?
That was the basis of their calculation. Mm. So they know the type of toilet that goes in. They know how much flushing would be for a certain amount of flushes per day, and they looked at the maximum number of flushes per day and came up with that figure.
Any more questions? Somebody move the recommendation.
Yeah, I'll move.
Seconded. Councillor Memory. Any comment? All those in favour?
No. Aye.
Carried.
Thank you. Thanks.
Yeah, it's just consistency is the most important thing, isn't it?
Well, that's it, and we can only be guided by the guidelines.
Just the guidelines.
Yeah.
It's only one odd thing, of course. Those recommendations went through, as it.
Thank you. Okay, so we'll move on to the next item, which is number 6, the demand management report. I spoke to the general manager before the meeting in relation to these two reports, the drought management and the demand management plans. I see these two plans as probably some of the most important plans that council has to adopt, particularly when it comes to water restrictions. We spent a lot of time during the course of the year just finished, during the severe drought, looking at what we did about water restrictions and what the trigger points ought to be and what the rules ought to be at each level. So these are really important documents as far as council is concerned. Council have only had these documents for a few days, and I discussed with the general manager whether there was any particular timing constraint on us needing to adopt these two plans, and the answer is not really at the moment. We had a drought management workshop a bit over a year ago. I think only a couple of councils were able to get to that. Given the importance of the documents, I think these are two documents which deserve a fair bit of close attention by councillors. Particularly trying to draw out the distinction between the two documents, both of which cover a lot of the same ground. So I've suggested to the general manager, and I would, from the chair, move that whilst we should have a discussion about these items now, that ultimately we should defer their adoption to the next ordinary meeting of council. I'd like to move from the chair that council defer consideration and adoption for the purpose of the public exhibition, the draft drought management plan and demand management plan, until the February meeting of council. Someone like to second that?
I'll second.
Seconded by Councillor Benbrick. We won't just put that to the vote just yet. I'd like to have a bit of a general discussion to see what councillors' comments are in relation to these. It may well be we should have a workshop before we get to the February meeting, where after councillors have considered the detail of the plans, there may be some amendments which would be desirable to make before it comes up for formal approval for exhibition. So I'll just open it up to any general comments.
Yeah,
Councillor Newstead.
I still have a problem with the level one being at 100% with the dam's capacity, which restricts you from doing washing down hard paths and walls and everything. I think, especially with what's happened in the last few months with the dam overflowing quite a while and having excess water and 15 gig of water going over the wall, I think there should be a period at some stage, even if it's just put out on Facebook, you know, for a two-week period where people could wash down their hard paths and their walls. Because the way I see it is that CTW's main aim is to sell water. If there's water going over the wall, I think people should be able to do a bit of that. I just find it a bit difficult to explain to somebody, oh yeah, we've got level one restrictions all the time, even though the water's going over the wall. They say, why can't we wash down these things at that stage? Oh, well, that's just the way it is. So I don't know whether we bring it down to, say, 90% that level one comes in, or whether we call it something different, that it's not level one of 100%, because that just seems like very restrictive to me. That's just my opinion. I think there should be a period, and it might not be able to happen every year. It might be only every two or three years when the water's actually going over the wall, or it's at 110%, as you say.
What do you reckon, Paul? Is that like level zero for the first 5%?
Well, that would be my idea, that level one comes in at, say, 95% or something like that. But we've had this discussion before, and you know, Paul's not overly keen on it because he's worried about, you know, having to inform the communities or the customers that, you know, we're on there. But we do that anyway. When it gets to 60%, we let people know that level two come in, and then 50 or whatever they are. But I just think there should be, like I said, a lot of people aren't going to do it, but I don't think people should have to feel like, because I know people will still do it, but they're kind of looking over their shoulder going, oh, I know I'm not allowed to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. And I know that you can get exemptions, but people, you know, if it's overflowing, I don't think you need to ring and say, oh, can I wash down my path or my walls or whatever? You don't want to be taking calls like that all the time, or the office, I don't think. But so just if there was some way of communicating it, yeah, okay, for a two-week period or something. And it might mean that everybody does it, which is not a good thing, but we're going to make a bit of money, and as long as it doesn't empty the dam, you know what I mean? But anyway, that's just my feelings. I've said that before.
Just on the same point, I discussed this with Councillor Newstead earlier. I'm generally in favour of some sort of permanent level of restriction. I don't know that I'd call level one level one, which suggests that there's a time when there's no restrictions, but in fact there's not, because that's at 100%. And I think it's Orange Council that have decided to call their permanent thing not a particular level, they've called it a permanent water saving standard or something. I do have some sympathy with what Councillor Newstead says, but I'd rather see it operate in such a way, for example, that we do have a permanent level, but when the dam is overflowing, that we can announce a period of unrestricted use of water for so long as the dam is overflowing, which is another way of achieving, I think, what Councillor Newstead says, selling water when the water otherwise is going to go to waste, so to speak. Waste in terms of the town water usage, but not other waste. So we'd call the 100%, anything below 100%, not level one, but something else, with an exception permitting unlimited use of water when there is surplus water available. That's just an idea. I mean, we're throwing out these ideas now. I don't suggest we do anything other than toss the ideas around at this stage to help think through some of the issues. And while I'm on this, I see that the body of the document doesn't seem to match the levels where it talks about setting the restriction level where the GM determines that the trigger one has been reached. Well, trigger one is always reached when it's at 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's just a wording thing. Anyway, so that's good comments. Yeah. Now, other comments from councillors?
I tend to agree with John. I think level one should probably come in at 95% or something like that. Or we could say that all councils can decide to cut it in if the water, if the forecast is unfavourable, like if something's going to happen where it's a forecast for a dry year, then we can pull level one in whenever we like. But if it's just a standard weather pattern, then we could maybe make level one at 95%, up to council's sort of discretion.
Yeah.
Also, depending on the weather.
Yeah. Because through you, Mr. Chairman, there's a lot of variables, obviously, which we'll flesh out at a workshop. Seasonal conditions, as you said, mentioned, Mr. Chairman, if the water's flowing over the wall, then how long is that period going to be? It may only be trickling over or it might be going for a longer period of time because, as you said, the weather patterns, the forecast is looking like we've got a lot of rain coming in. So, it's just about with that engagement strategy that we just adopted, how we get that out to the community quickly. Not everyone is on Facebook, I understand that, but that's our quickest way to get the information out there straight away. But that's all things, there's a lot of variables that we can flesh out at that workshop.
Council sort of makes that decision during the drought that we bring in water restrictions earlier because the forecast wasn't looking good. So I think we should be able to do the same thing when the forecast is looking good. Like, as you said, forecast for a lot of rain, so let's put level one at 95%.
Yep.
Hopefully in the next 6 months it'll never reach 95%. It'll just keep trickling in as it rains, and we can make money as selling water as it comes in. So, but then we can also say, okay, weather forecast is now changed, it's going to dry up, so we can cut it back to 100% or 99% or whatever, up to council's discretion.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing where there's discretion comes in is the reverse triggers. When the dam starts filling up, at what stage do you ratchet back the levels? Because the trigger points for imposing restrictions are not necessarily the same trigger points for relaxing the restrictions. I don't know whether the document deals with that.
No, but that's what we did discuss that. But we ran out of time, but that'll be good to do that at the workshop and to put that in the revised draft.
The other thing too, Gabby, through you, Mr. Chairman, when we're at 100%, is Orange interested in buying water off us at that point? Like, because, as I said to the Chairman earlier, if we get down to level 6 or level 5 again, I wouldn't be agreeable to sending water to Orange if they're at level 5 as well. But while we're at 100%, wouldn't it be wise to sell a bit of water?
Well, the agreement's with them at the moment, Councillor Newstead, for supplying water to either entity. So, and we've raised that with them. Depending on their levels, I think they're around, 65%, I think, at the moment, combined storage. Mm-hmm. So that's something we have flagged with them. And
Like you've stated, that 15 gig that went over the wall during that time, imagine we could have made a bit of money out of that, selling it to Orange.
Are they not interested?
Oh, they're still going through the agreement, so... Yeah. At the moment, as I understand it, Noel, they're happy with what they've got at this stage.
Oh,
so
look, I think understand that they don't want to buy water if they don't have to.
Yeah.
Certainly.
They're looking at the forecast as well.
And the other thing too, councillors, which I've reported previously, is the Minister Pavey is interested in standardising the water restriction definitions. So that's something we spoke to the Minister's advisor about the other day as well. So that's something, but that won't obviously happen overnight, but that's something to consider too, moving forward. What's going to be classed as level one restriction in the CTW network will be the same as in Tweed Heads or wherever.
So. But that's not when they will come into effect.
No, it's what they mean. So it means level one means no washing down of walls or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
That'll be standard across the...
Of course, that'll probably, if we do get grants to build them all up and put the pipeline in, we could make it all change anyway. We're going to have ample water then, so...
Yeah, it's going to change the way we operate.
80% or something.
Gav, how long till the standardisation comes in?
I'd say a good 12 months, 2 years probably.
Is it that hard to work out?
maybe.
My thing will take us. On the level one, it's basically, I don't see us on a revolving door situation where we're going from level one to level zero to level dropping one to level zero, because I think it loses its impact to anybody then. They just don't consider it. And I know the staff are in a position where they're going to have to be monitoring whether it's overflowing to what level, and let's let everybody know that there are no longer restrictions. And I'm more council memory in that if we're seeing an area where we think there's really good weather forecast in that period, that we might be able to use the weather forecast then to say, well, okay, we have a high expectation that we're going to, you know, going to have decent rains in the next quarter or the next few months, so that in this period we might lower our restrictions. That, but I don't want to go to the level of where the same thing, we're changing restrictions as well, putting 95 on and then 90 on and then 95. I think generally people just take less and less notice of something which keeps changing, things like that. I do understand level one is to more promote good use of water. I mean, that's what it's really there for, is to promote people, you know, wise water usage, I think. So,
yeah, and I think consumers just going through this drought and previous droughts, their habits have changed. Mm-hmm. I remember previously when their allocations, before my time, but the allocations, people were letting water run down their gutter because that was their allocation, that was their entitlement. Mm-hmm. I know habits have changed considerably since those times.
There's a pretty big gap between level one and level two. It's like goes from 100% to 60%, so it's a pretty big gap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, more discussion, I'm sure.
Yeah. Any other comments yourself get on the table at this stage? Right, well, on the basis that we will consider this at the next meeting, and the General Manager will organise an opportunity for councillors to workshop this before the final draft comes up to the next meeting.
Just one question, if you're on your motion there, do you think we should set that it's definitely going to be on every meeting, or should we leave that more as a result of the workshop? Happy to just say yep.
Ah, well. Unless there's some reason in terms of complying with IPNR or best practice management where we've got a time limit.
No, not at this stage, because we've got an existing plan in place, management and demand management plan. This is just revising and updating those existing plans.
All right, well, let's go back to my motion, which was to defer it to the February meeting. If we can change that so we defer it for consideration at a later meeting, and in the meantime have a workshop.
Which we could do by Zoom. And we were going to organise a workshop and all that.
All right, now I'm happy with that. Who seconded it? I've forgotten. Councillor Bedrick.
Just with that, is like with these special meetings, we're talking about the cars. Anyway, that we could sort of do that one through Zoom?
I think we should.
Yes.
Okay, all those in favour?
Aye.
Got that?
Yes.
Good. Thank you. That was a good discussion. Now, going back to the business paper. Next item. Item 8, the council resolutions. Lake Rollins Augmentation. Item 7, Lake Rollins Augmentation. The report's been provided. Someone like to move that?
Yes.
I'm used to it. Councillor Best, thank you very much. I'll just ask for any questions in relation to this. As I've read it, there's not much happening.
Questions? Through you, Mr. Chairman, your meter. We just received, I've been chasing DPI water for a response, obviously leading up for a while, and also leading up to this council meeting to provide the councillors with as much up-to-date information as possible. I got a fairly long response back on Thursday last week from DPIE Water, reiterating that they're still going through the additional modelling for the Carcore Dam or Lake Rollins to Carcore Dam project. And that's obviously holding up a decision on proceeding with the Lake Rollins Augmentation Feasibility Study. We've been advised that the modelling was going to be done end of September, end of October, and then we were told more recently end of November. The email that I received on Thursday now says that won't be completed until March 2021. We're currently, Noel and I are currently in consultation with our business case consultants, Balmoral Group, who helped us develop our strategic business case. We're drafting up a response back to that email now to DPIE Water. And also we've made contact with the Minister's advisor, Tom Chesson, who we spoke with on earlier this week. And I've just written back to, or provided an email to Tom, and he's going to, he said that he'll organise a meeting for us to meet with Minister Pavey, hopefully as soon as possible to discuss this project. We advised him that the original whole point was agreed to be a 2-week period. This Friday it'll be 22 weeks, and we've once again reiterated the reasons we've been provided why for that hold up. So Tom is supportive of us, and he's keen for us to progress our project. So if there's any questions,
So in a nutshell, what were the reasons, I guess, the last time they come back with us, what were the reasons for putting off till March? Was there any particular?
Well, they're still going through the modelling. As I understand it, the modelling, when they first did the modelling, the data came out that wasn't comparable or consistent, so they're redoing that modelling. That's through DPIE Water, mm-hmm. in consultation with Water New South Wales.
So, consistency with us or with?
Well, that's the thing at the moment. We were advised to do a secure yield study for Lake Rollins, which we did. We got an independent expert to do that, who's the department has used previously, mm-hmm. and we've been saying from the start there's got to be a comparison or consistency there, so we can compare apples with apples.
Yeah.
Water New South Wales, because they're running the Lake Rollins to Kalkor Dam project, they had completed their own modelling, which was inconsistent to what we had to do.
Modelling of secure yield?
No, or modelling of inflows into the Kalkor Dam from Lake Rollins through the pipeline project.
Oh, so modelling that will impact the transfer, the diameter of the pipe and the transfer capacity.
No, through the chair, the modelling that was being undertaken by Water New South Wales has come up with a different inflow calculation or assumptions into Lake Rollins Dam than what our secure yield study has modelled their yield on. So this is what we are reading into the correspondence that came back from David Swan last week, and because there is such a difference between those two, they're waiting now to find out what that difference is and come up with a more comparable figure.
Which suggests they go back to the expert who did out the secure yield to work out what sort of assumptions he made about long-term rainfall and runoff and all that sort of stuff.
So through the chair,
and see what the difference is.
We have provided the no objection for Water New South Wales to engage with our consultant that did the secure yield study. So we provided no objection for them to talk directly.
Have they spoken to our bloke yet?
And again, well, that's in. We have not had any correspondence back from Water New South Wales.
No, but we can talk to our fellow to see if they've spoken to him.
Correct.
Yeah.
Surely that's decided on historic events anyway. What can the difference be?
Lots.
Yeah, so I've asked a question at a previous meeting, and I've put my hand up to say that I'm not a hydrologist, I'm not an engineer, but if our secure yield study for Lake Rollins isn't stacking up, how can they be looking at transferring excess water from Lake Rollins into Kalkor Dam? But to me, that doesn't stack up. But it's because they're not, at this stage, comparing apples with apples, as I understand it. So we're, the email that we received, as I said, we're going through that and drafting up a response, because we're identifying there's a lot of anomalies in that email or information that we oppose and is not correct. So we're going through working through that at the moment. But it's just disappointing that obviously the time it's taken to get a response to move on. And we said from the beginning, before we even got the funding, before the funding was announced for the Lake Rollins augmentation project, because the funding was announced, or the final business case was announced for the Lake Rollins Karkor pipeline project prior to, and when they first met with us, we said from the get-go that these projects have to be considered. There's a strong a nexus there and an alignment. And we were told at the start that, no, they're going to be separate, and now, obviously, they've come back and said, oh, no, we realise they've got to be considered together.
Do you think you could send councillors a copy of what DPIE was
sent to you? I'll forward that on.
So we get a handle now from the horse's mouth, so to speak.
Yeah, I'll forward that on. We were just going through it first to get our head around that. So then when we get questions, obviously, from councillors, we're prepared for those. So, sorry, Noel, did you want?
Yeah, through the chair. Instead of the document from David Swan being presented to the council, would you mind if it is also included in our comments that we have put onto that document?
Yeah.
So that would further the understanding of where we are.
So what they've said to us and what we've said back to them.
Correct.
In terms of that's good.
Yeah.
Who do you think is stumbling block? It's got to be one of them that's causing the trouble.
Yeah, that's it. There's something going on. Yeah, this delay, when it was going to take 2 weeks, I just get the impression that this finished our modelling, it's not going to take till March, is throwing up a smokescreen to buy a bit of time for something going on in the background.
Just taking a slightly different approach on it. I'm just, who did our initial yield study?
That was done through New South Wales Urban Water Services and Peter Cloak, who's a well-known.
Yeah, so
can
you remember how much that study cost?
It was close to 27,000 all up, I think, with that work, Noel, or 30,000 in round figures.
Yeah, I'm just more thinking the other side of it is going back to DPI and saying, look, we're happy to do another assessment on that study or something like that, if that's the problem. You know what I mean? And more saying, like, how can we assist you in getting this come to a head? Like, so they say, well, how can we assist you? We're quite happy to pay them to do some more figures to come back to you with saying how they come up with that methodology and all those sorts of things. You know, again, like, instead of sort of butting heads over it, more how can we work together to get this sorted out? That's
yeah.
What I'm just thinking. I know we're trying, but, you know, even if we would say to them, well, you know, we're happy to invest another $5,000-$10,000 with that group and spend some more time coming back to you and showing their methodology, their figures, or where all that, or augmenting our actual initial one or something.
We've
like
said
that
to them also with the, because they use this model called an IQQM model that they're using at the moment for the pipeline project. Well, if you can, more than welcome to use that model for Lake Rollins as well. We're quite open to that, and we've expressed that to them. But Noel, did you want to say anything further regarding that? It's just
he had offered DPIE to get a third party to look at the secure yield study that was provided, and they declined. They were happy to accept the secure yield study as it stood without any challenge from that side. So that's where DPIE believes they're quite comfortable with the way that the secure yield study put forward.
Mm-hmm.
It is only water in New South Wales now that is challenging the secure yield study, because the inflows that they are modelling are flowing into Lake Rollins. They're looking in their modelling of transferring 5 gigalitres a year from Lake Rollins to Karkor Dam. So that's the variation between the secure yield study saying that we will run out of water, we will be imposed on heavily restricted water, irregardless of what we do with the dam, whether we raise it 2.2 metres or even further, and where the modelling that Water New South Wales is saying we can transfer 5 gigalitres a year away from Lake Rowan. So that's how far apart they are.
Well, there seems to be a fundamental mismatch between what Water New South Wales are looking at this for and what we're looking at this for. I mean, the basic principle from our point of view is that there are times when we have a lot of surplus water which could be transferred. Now, that might be a lot of water in a year or two, and it might be no water in another year. We can't assume they could just have 5 gigalitres of water from the dam, slowly, you know, 200 days a year pumping a bit of water across. Because we might not have it to pump across 200 days a year. We might only have it to pump across 50 days a year. So there's a, in terms of the strategic rationale for the pipeline, there seems to be a total mismatch as to what they're looking for and what we're looking for. And until we resolve that, we're going to be at loggerheads the whole time.
And the other thing too, James, the chairman, is our, the basis for our project, which was $1 million, was on strengthening urban security.
If we could pump water back from Carcourt to Lake Rowan.
So we're obviously we're in favour of augmenting Lake Rowan to increase that urban water security, because at the moment the modelling they're doing is looking at transferring whatever we transfer across to Carcourt Dam, we're only going to get 50% of that water back. And as Noel's raised before, in 2016, there would have been no benefit to either organisation based on that both dams were spilling.
Yeah, so until someone actually writes down, or everyone signs up to, what is the reason for doing this project, then we'll always be at loggerheads.
So do we need the other? Do we need the other project? Do we need the pipeline?
I mean, in a sense, if we got our augmentation,
we don't.
Then yes, they could have surplus water, and they would have had some this year anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't need it back again.
No.
We save on the pumping costs of taking the water back. I mean, there are basic issues like that. Until everyone gets together and is frank about why we're doing this.
If I could make a comment just quickly, I'm more frustrated than anything, because like to raise the wall by 2.4 metres, going say somewhere between 15 and 20 million, that's pittance. Really, with the money that the governments have been throwing around with all these other funding, like for something that's going to have a fantastic outcome, doubling our dammed capacity, 15 million to 20 million is absolutely nothing. You know, they're talking about spending $650 million on Wyangla. I was saying today, but on the way over, the time they're taking, I reckon they're looking at ways to back out of having to do even Wyangla there. I just reckon they're just going to keep pushing it out and out and out. But it's $15 to $20 million, honestly, in this day and age, is a pittance to a government. I just don't understand what the big drama about it is. Anyway.
Have you had a response from the Craig's office or not?
No, we responded back to Tom yesterday, her advisor, he wanted to know what the model, he sent me a message yesterday, he wanted to know the model that DPIE Water are using, so I've advised him of that, and he hasn't got back to me yet, but that was only late yesterday that we...
Yeah, so what's your feelings about a meeting with Melinda Pavey early next year?
I think it'd be positive, quite positive. I've also put out feelers, or put out requests for meetings with our local members, so with Paul Toole, Phil Donato, Andrew G as well, so we're just waiting to hear back from them.
Doing this a small report to Melinda Pavey's office, do you think that's something we can do in-house, or we'd have to get an external help with that? On the actual project, because obviously we have a mismatch between... it's pretty obvious from this that we've got a mismatch between different priorities, between DPI Water and all that. So Melinda Pavey's the minister, and she's on board with the whole project, so I think... To me, it's whether Dave and yourself can go down and I can go down and in Melinda Pavey's office, put a small presentation to her and say, something you can keep, stay with her, and say, this is our project, this is what we need to see, this is where we're at, and maybe, you know, and leave it with her and say, this is where we are, and see if we can get her assistance in tidying up this problem.
Yeah. And as I said earlier, her advisor is, when we spoke to him, he's supportive of that, and he's trying to, arrange that meeting. Because straight away he said, I'll organise a meeting with the boss.
Yeah.
So we said, yep, no, that's fine, that's what we want. That's what we want. And we said, in the email yesterday, we said we would welcome any opportunity to meet with Minister Pavey and obviously his, and him, and Tom, to progress this project, because it's obviously, it's important. We've got to learn from the what we've been through, and we've been advocating for 20 years, so it's vital that.
And we, and as Minister said, when we went back to the initially when Melinda Pavey's office, she said, well, isn't, you know, the thought was, well, aren't you getting fixed by the raising the damn wall from Wayne? You know, so we've got to, you know what I mean, go back to her and say, this is, you know, that's not going to be our answer. And just think we should probably, have something there to go with a bit more approach with that at all.
Is there any way we can separate the two projects?
Concentrate
on the damn wall and just cut the other one loose. And if it happens in another 5 or 10 years, when it happens, but at the time being, our priority is the dam.
Through the chair, our issue is that DPIE is covering those projects.
Yeah.
So it's DPIE's project to look at the Lake Rollins augmentation, and it's DPIE's project to look at the pipeline project. So we don't have control of DPIE. The way that they're mismatching the two projects, we have identified that from baseline, and we put our point forward. But coming back to Council Best, the initial start of these projects, we did do a summary sheet where we looked at stage one, raising a dam wall, stage two, looking at the pipeline, stage three, looking at the longer term events. And we have the strategy in place there that we have presented to the to the minister, as well as other ministers in the parliament. So the issue is the way DPIE is managing these projects, and the control we have is very limited. All we can do is put our point forward. But getting in to see Minister Pavey and having DPIE in the same room, which is what has been asked for, that is the only way that we're going to be able to nut it out and have someone like the Minister to dictate to DPIE which direction to go.
So we don't want to get DPIE offside. We're trying to move the ball. So it's more...
But their thinking is not in line with our thinking.
Yeah. Can we review that strategy sheet then and update it to the point we're at now?
To be truthful, I think our strategy is very consistent in the approach that we looked at. Stage one was all about the short to medium term, where we would raise the dam wall to secure water for CTW consumers, and any additional water could be flown onto other urban regional areas. Stage two approach was to put a pipeline in so as additional water could be stored in Karkor Dam, and that could be used then for the regional partners or the regional area for irrigation, mining, agriculture. So that was what stage two was. But stage one was always about putting something around urban water. But then stage three was the longer term, which says build new dams downstream to support all areas. So I think our strategy is very consistent. It was well supported by the community whenever we put forward at community engagement sessions, and it's very easy to follow. The issue we have with how DPIE is managing their area, it is so inconsistent. And the report that we got back, or the document we got back from David Swan, representing DPIE, is full of lots of inconsistencies on assumptions that he is making.
Pretty uncertain and unsatisfactory, isn't it, really? Anyway, I think we're certainly a meeting with the minister.
That's it. And I'm still waiting to hear. I got an email back around 3 weeks ago from Jim Bentley, the CEO of DPIE Water, to that he's to organise a meeting
as well. Meeting with the minister, with Jim Bentley present, would be the ideal outcome.
Exactly. Yeah.
Any more questions? Those in favour?
Aye.
All right. Then we get to item 8, council resolution update. Someone like to move that?
Yeah.
Councillor Newstead, Councillor Walker, thank you. There is a report on the progress with the resolutions. Any more comments from anyone?
I just want to add one. Councillors, you'll notice there that the land has finally been, we've finally acquired the additional land at Carcor Water Treatment Plant. Yeah. So that's a good one to get out of the road, especially when Noel's just about to commence the earthworks for the reservoir. So.
Yeah, I saw that. That's good.
Yeah.
On the Cowra bi-directional pipeline, have we signed that project participants agreement now?
Yes, that's gone to the Infrastructure New South Wales.
Yep.
Before and that deed has now been released, executed, the deed for the Infrastructure New South Wales funding.
That's the funding agreement or the project participants?
Well, the project participants agreement went to Infrastructure New South Wales as part of the business case.
Yep.
And that's all been signed off now, and as I said, and the funding deed has subsequently been executed.
Okay. The one that's not on here, I just want to ask you about how we're going. The parks, the water, central water grid project.
Yep.
I was just, Mayor of Forbes, Phyllis Miller, took me aside at some other function recently, and it seems that Forbes are not too keen on it. I don't know whether you're up to date with all of this, and then I went and had a look at the Forbes Council business paper for November, which was pretty sceptical of the whole thing in terms of the motives behind it and Forbes' likely participation in it, and I see that the decision that they made in relation to that was to defer it. So we've given our support. Subject to us being happy with the final outcome. But Forbes at the moment are pushing back pretty strongly. So I don't know whether you're on top of what. Can you let us know what's happening there?
Yeah, no, through. Noel's been involved in the meetings. And
yeah, so through the chair. So if you look at the project as in total, you've got Parks that sits in the middle. Off one end of that Parks scheme, we sit CTW. On the other side of the park scheme, we sit Forbes. So what Forbes are saying is they don't see a benefit of putting in additional pipeline, which they need to own and operate. And was at our last meeting, we considered whose area would be to look after and depreciation of that asset. So Forbes says, we don't see a benefit to add our section of that section of pipeline under our control and our costs. So because of that, we're steering away from the project.
Yeah.
However, with CTW side of it, the pipeline that would interact and would be ownership CTW is certainly a good benefit for CTW. It would be used as business as usual. It would not just be used for providing additional water bi-directionally, either from parks through their borefields, or if we are providing water from our borefields at Goolagong to parks to assist them during a drought condition or areas of emergency use. So that's where the project is
sitting. I think you mentioned at our last meeting that for us to really get a benefit from it, we need to have a loop from Goolagong, Eugowra, and back down the proposed new pipeline. That new bit that we'd want bi-directional, and we wanted to complete the loop, doesn't that go through Forbes Council area as well?
No.
Doesn't?
No.
Which shire is that?
It's in parks. So we're following parks, yes. So the boundaries are in parks. So Eugowra itself, and Sean Cabon would understand, that Yagara Township is within the Cabon Shire.
Yep.
And the parks is boundary up to the Cabon Shire around that Yagara area.
Okay, so if we put in a, I mean, if Forbes probably presumes that this pipeline goes in, the basic principle that you own the pipe within your local government area, but, and therefore you've got to depreciate it, and it's all for the benefit of parks, so they don't want that. I just was a bit concerned that the pipeline we wanted to complete the loop was within Forbes, but if it's not in Forbes, there's no problem.
Yeah, it's from the boundary lines that I have seen, I believe it's in the parks side, which is why they follow that that alignment. But again, I will certainly follow up. But that was a proposed pipeline there. We could reposition the pipeline. Again, it will be used for our asset, and it's on one side of the Lachlan River. So if we go on the other side of the Lachlan River and follow our existing trunk main L, that will still provide the linkage back into Yagara if we went on the other side. So it's not set in stone. And the last meeting that we had with Parks was that CTW would need to explore further the pipeline and put forward their business case in conjunction with Parks for that particular section of pipeline.
Isn't the existing one that we've mapped out now, isn't that the most efficient way of doing it though?
That was proposed by Parks.
Yeah.
It wasn't proposed by us. So
okay.
So that's all got a fair way to go.
Correct.
And maybe it's not for Parks, it's maybe not worth it unless the link to Forbes is included.
The benefit that I see as far as CTW, when we start interlinking pipeline projects, we add populations of certain townships to that business case. So for us to put in a township such as Parks and their customer base, of which the interlinking pipeline provides, would certainly be of benefit to us.
So the whole problem is just the depreciation based on that asset?
Correct. It would be. But as I said, I can see that the value of that pipeline, it is a weakness in CTW's existing system, and by putting in that pipeline would be a great asset for us, as well as with Parks, of course.
Okay, sorry, that was one thing which I think there was a resolution about that, but it's not on the resolution list. Maybe it should be.
I don't think there's any. Was there anything else to follow up on that as an
action?
I don't know.
I don't know. I'll
check that in.
Yeah.
The option is that we accept that area pipeline, isn't it? In our books.
And I said it would, that section of pipeline that we have at the moment feeding Yagara is very limited. Our pressures are maintained at a maximum of 850 kPa, whereas the new pipeline going through would allow us a pressure of up to 2,000 kPa. And we have had many breakages on that trunk main L because it is a 150 AC line. So,
do
you want
to drop that
in? A report the council based upon what the effects then of us accepting the liability and responsibility of that area pipeline. Something we'd have to do then.
Certainly, and again, if I can reiterate, it's we're at the basis of trying to align ourselves up. Forbes has pulled out, yes, or they've decided not to follow. So we are still talking with Parks, that's all we are doing.
Mm.
And how we align that to come through, we will certainly pursue that.
Mm. Yeah, the report, it makes interesting reading. The report that Forbes did, which is on their business paper, goes into, from Forbes' point of view, the strengths of it, the weaknesses, the opportunities, the threats, it goes on for pages. And they seem to have had an agreement as well, a water grid agreement, which the draft was provided to them. There's no water grid agreement for us. Anyway. Any more questions on any of the resolutions?
No.
Those in favour?
Aye.
Carried. Item 9, financial matters. Someone like to move that? Durkin, Councillor Newstead, thank you. Well, Peter's not here, of course, but any questions on that? I just had one issue, because this has come up in Blady Council. We've got money with AMP.
Yep.
AMP's been downgraded. It's a triple B, I think it was. And in Blaney Council, we've got a bit of money with AMP, which we've now got too much, because it's been downgraded. We've got a policy about how much percent you can have with different credit ratings. And we're now, in fact, in breach of that, at least until the current deposit expires. But I see we've also got, CW's got money with AMP. And it says credit rating is A on this report here.
I'd say they had, yeah, it just hasn't been updated, I'd say, David, for the credit rating on there. So I'll check with that.
Can you check that? Yeah, because... Yeah. That's quite significant.
We'll check that, and we'll check it obviously against our investment policy as well.
Yeah. Yes, I mentioned in the Blaney meeting that I think we organise our deposits through Curve Securities. Yeah, I think Blaney does too.
Yeah.
And so they recommend where you put your money and that sort of stuff. We don't pay them anything. They get paid by the banks, I gather.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That makes me suspicious that if someone like, you know, MP is a bit short of money, they say to Curve, listen, we'll up your commission if you get more people putting money with us. There's a real conflict. Do they owe their duty? They're being paid by the banks. It's our money. Mm. I'm a bit suspicious about when they start pushing money in favour towards AMP, for example.
Yeah, but I suppose that's why we've got those limitations in our policy as well. We can only have so much with a certain provider. Oh, so yeah.
So that's. Could you check that?
Yep. Yeah. That's fine.
Yeah, it's gone. Well, it was triple B plus, but it's now just gone down to triple B. So I don't know how long. It is since it's been A, probably quite a while.
Yeah, we'll check that. I'll just say it hasn't been updated in that spreadsheet.
Okay, that's all I had. Any other comments?
I was just going to say, at some point after now Peter's finished his doing the financial statements, that we're going to look at our borrowing ability. That was one of
Yeah, that's it. We want to do some ESP.
Good timing.
Yeah.
Just,
or is it more than some
Yeah. And we'd like to do some modelling as well. Financial modelling. What projects we can maybe bring forward or progress with.
That is the cheapest.
Yeah.
You can bring something back to that.
Okay.
Any more questions? Those in favour?
Aye.
Barry, now we get to item 10, the drought impact update. Someone like to move that?
Yes.
For Best, seconded Councillor Benbrick, thank you. Any comments? I won't. I just ask you for any comments on that?
Because it's been commented about it earlier, haven't we?
Yeah, I think we've been through that. Those in favour?
Aye.
Carried. Item 11, Trunk Main K renewal. This school will be the last time this appears on our agenda. After about 4 years. someone like to move that?
I'll move that.
Newstead, Councillor Benbrick, thank you very much. We have an official opening next Wednesday, which have Jeff McClellan invited to that.
Yes, we've got Jeff McClellan, we've got,
Alan
Griffiths,
Barry
Hines, and also we'll invite Mark Leibich and Glenn Carroll, as well as all of the farmers in that area. So which would be good. So, yeah, so that's at 10, what have we got there? At 10 o'clock next Wednesday out at McDonald's Lane Pump Station.
Looks like we've got about 3,000 to spend on the party.
Yeah.
I won't tell them that.
Yeah, I should be okay with that. That's good.
Yeah, we can organise transport. Yep.
Okay. Those in favour?
Aye.
Carried. Item 12, maintenance of council system. Someone like to move that. Councillor Benbrick. Councillor Best, thank you. Should just rotate this.
Yeah.
Any questions of Noel in relation to his report? If not, I'll put that in favour. Carried. Item 13, performance of systems. Someone like to move that? Yeah. Councillor Walker. Councillor Durkin. Thank you.
Yes.
I'm not keeping you awake. any questions, Noel, in relation to his report on the various benchmarks? No, if not. If not, I'll put that as a favour. Gary, thank you. Item 14, questions on notice. None of those?
No.
Item 15, we need to move into closed session now. I'd sort of like to move that recommendation number 15. Councillor Walker, Councillor Newstead. Thank you. Those in favour?
Aye.
Carried. Well, we now go into closed session, so we will halt the audio recording.
All right, back on.
All right, we've finished our closed session. We're now back in open council meeting. I'll report on the outcomes of the two items considered in the closed session. Item one was a water leakage account. Council resolved to grant a one-off concession of 50% of the difference between the average of the three corresponding periods and the water consumption for the September 2020 water account. The second item enclosed was the General Manager's contract, and the recommendation is that the Chairman's minute be accepted and the contents therein be noted and endorsed, and that was passed. Now we have a late item to deal with, which has been designated number 17, which is the annual financial statements and the auditor's report. Recommendation is that the financial statements be received. Someone like to move that? Councillor Best, Councillor Newstead. Thank you. We've had a presentation already from Katie Henry, which filled us in on the high points of the audit. All very positive. Anyone got any questions now that Peter's with us? Any questions in relation to the annual financial statements?
More of a drought impact. How do you felt with the drought impact?
Drought impact? I mean, obviously the level of restrictions sort of had a bit of an impact impact on us. If we looked at last year's, I think I mentioned in my report, if we looked at last year's usage and increased it by 6%, which was our policy, revenue policy. We ended up probably down about 3.5%, which you would expect given we were actually went to level 5, level 4 and 5 over the course of the year. So overall it wasn't too bad a result given the level of restrictions we had. We did obviously pick up a little bit with standpipe sales in our filling stations as well, so that sort of offset it a little bit. But overall, it's not a bad result given the circumstances and the very difficult drought conditions we faced.
Any more questions?
not, I'll put that those in favour.
All right.
Now, the QBRS bit, we're not, we've got no QBRS, are we? Yes, we do. Sorry. Item 18.
Yep.
QBRS. So I'd like to move that one.
Yep.
Councillor Benbrick, Councillor Walker, thank you. I must admit I haven't had a chance to have a look at this. anyone got any questions?
Through you, Mr. Chairman, I'll just basically we've got, besides the rebates that were approved by council in the meeting on the 12th of August, we've got two variations. One is a reduction in our interest because of the very low interest rates that we're facing. It's very tough across the board for everyone and anyone that's got any funds themselves personally and want to renew a term deposit, on how difficult the market is. And the other one is an item for some additional from new software for called Info Council, which council has used a number of years ago to produce its business papers and committee reports. And there's $10,000 been voted to implement it. We were approached by Info Council to pick that system up again, and they've given us a very good deal. The general manager may wish to elaborate a bit more on the history of Info Council and, you know, the advantages it can give us, but it's certainly probably a pretty good investment for us.
Going on, thanks for that, Pete. Info Council, we had it previously with, Pete was mentioning in his report, with Blaney Shire Council. And Blaney Shire Council had the license and we used their IT support. And then when we went away from Blaney Shire, we took up our own. We did it ourselves in-house because the licensing fees back then were something in the figures around $30,000, which was fairly significant for us. We've since obviously got a revised quote and it's come down quite significantly, down to I think it's around the 10 grand mark. So this will just help us, further help us with the preparation of the business paper. And also not only that, but also with the search functionalities is really good with Info Council too. So searching back with other previous reports and doing the minutes as well. So it'd be great.
Thank you. Any more questions on the QBRS?
I had the problems with it.
Thank you. Because this. This is a late item which council only received not so long ago. If any council have got any questions in relation to this on reflection, I suggest we direct them to the general manager, who will refer them to Peter. All those in favour?
Aye.
Carried. Now we've got to deal with item the Dicko one.
There's been a mix up, so I'll take the prawn and this one's
fish.
Can be Dicko's.
Yeah,
so that's Dicko's.
Where's Dicko City?
Right. Right here by Luke. Yeah.
Must be at the bar.
So through the chair, I'd like to introduce Mr. Robert Dixon to the council.
Thank you.
There you go.
Thank you, Noel. Welcome. Can I call you Dicko?
Of course you can. Yeah. I wouldn't know who you're talking to. Exactly.
Yes, and I should mention to you that you're being recorded because we are on audio recording of a council meeting. So you've got to be careful what you say. Now, I gave a presentation to Daryl Slager a couple of years ago on 43 years, which was rather special. We were down in Grenfell at the time, as I remember. You've had 40 years. More than 40 years. We hope that you're going to get up to 43 because
because with all the knowledge you've got of the way the system works in your area, it's going to take about 3 years to download all that knowledge. We'll need about 3 successes, I suspect, to do what you do. So, Nico, on behalf of the council, I would like to congratulate you on 40 years.
Thank you very much.
I haven't been involved for anything other than a very small part of that period, 6 or 7 years. But I've got to know you. Every time we have a chat, I enjoy it. I hope there's many more opportunities for that. So I have a presentation which says Central Tablelands Water County Council Certificate of Appreciation awarded to Robert Dixon in recognition of 40 years of dedicated service to Central Tablelands Water County Council, awarded this 9th day of December 2020, signed by the Chairman and the General Manager. So congratulations.
Thank you very much.
And, it's an honour to be able to present it to you. Thank you very much. And the man who probably doesn't do much paperwork, so what's more important than that paperwork is something tangible.
Thank you very
so,
much.
So, congratulations.
Very much appreciate it.
On behalf of us all.
Thank you.
Thank you. Please join us for some lunch.
You might want to say something, Dave. Do you want to say it to you?
I don't think you fellas want to hear too much from me. I'd just like to thank all the councillors, your input into our work over the years. Thank you all the staff, indoor and outdoor staff. It's been a great journey, 40 years. It doesn't seem like 40 years. I had different coloured hair when I started.
At least you had hair.
Yeah. And still got hair.
Still got hair, yeah.
Not if I'm riding a motorbike, it's not that. Okay. But it's been great. I'm a bit of a clown, I suppose, a village idiot. In a serious situation, I always seem to end up making a joke out of something or other, but it lightens the whole thing up a bit. But yeah, it's good. We do a lot of travelling. I didn't think I was going to get here this morning. I think we had a break in the middle, but we got a bit there. But once again, thank you very much, everybody, for everything you've ever done for us, and wish the council all the best.
Thank you.
I'd just like to reiterate the comments of our chairman. And thank Dicko for his exemplary service to CTW over a long period of time. He's been a great asset to our organisation and will continue to be a great great asset until he decides to he's had enough and time to pull a pin. But we do appreciate the efforts that he has put in over a long extended period of time. So thanks, Dicko, and congratulations on your 40 years.
But, 40 years, I think I put in my resignation to you some time back now. But if you look closely at it, you notice there was a question mark at the back end of it. Did you see that?
I did, yeah.
Because I really don't know whether I'm ready for retirement or not, but everyone tells me you've got to retire sometime, so we'll see how it goes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, there is a formal recommendation that goes with this presentation, which is in the business papers. I should just ask someone to move that.
Yeah.
Councillor Newstead, seconded by Councillor Walker. Those in favour, obviously. Carried with acclamation. And on that note, I'll declare the meeting closed.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.